Hello and welcome to Landward, readings of place and season. I'm Catherine Young. I live, farm, and write in Richland County in the Driftless area of Wisconsin. Today I'll be reading the first part of my essay, Smoke, my reaction and experience of the wildfire ash that began to cover our Midwestern skies in the fall of 2020. It was published in the journal About Place in spring 2021 in their issue, Geographies of Justice. Smoke, Part 1. 2,000 miles east of the Pacific Ocean in the Great Lakes region of North America, the stars were blotted out. Smoke from September 2020 wildfires on the American West Coast traveled like a film over the sky, like a color gel over stage lights, changing mood, except that there was nothing clear about the change of color. The September sky was tinted white with particles we could not see. We were blanketed beneath ash, wondering what it all meant as we watched the red ball of sun rise and descend each day. For me, it was an eerily familiar scene from my childhood in the largest coal mining valley in the world, located in northern Appalachia. At the top of our hill on summer evenings, I could look out from where I stood on the East Mountain over the great, deep valley to see the West Mountains. In a white, seemingly clear sky, I could see the red-orange ball of sun slip behind the faded blue jeans color of those mountains. That was in my teens in the early 1970s, when ecology, the environmental movement, and the Clean Air Act had begun to open up our vision of connectedness, when our skies opened up to simply being white above faded mountains. More than hazy memory or haze above mountains, my memory takes me to the fall of 1964, when I was in first grade. All of us children in our city of Scranton, Pennsylvania, walked to neighborhood schools, castle-like stone and slate structures. They were edifices of the 19th century belief in the power of education to bring immigrants of my valley into common language and values to be Americans. I remember the six-block walk on sunny days over dark gray slate sidewalks as the sound of shoe leather slapping in a gathering of children from all the houses heading to our school. We became a river of tributaries of all the children from all the neighborhood blocks. I remember how beautiful the falling leaves of autumn were, many colored red and yellow, splotched, how they felt waxy to the touch. We cradled color in our hands that blazed a contrast against the gray ubiquitous houses and roads, the white and gray sky. But overlaid on those scenes under a white sky was a much darker scene. Smoke was ever present in our air, not just because every house and industry burned anthracite coal year-round to maintain the stoker furnaces to heat radiators and water, or that the power plants producing the electricity burned coal, but the thousands of waste coal piles accompanying each coal breaker where the coal was processed, the five-story high column dumps had caught fire. In our narrow, deep mountain valley, the smaller mountains of broken slate and coal burned by day and by night. By day, those conical column piles as tall as our downtown buildings looked like festering wounds, burning rusty pink ash hills. Raindrops hitting them drew sparks of many colors. At night, if we had cause to be driving past the burning column dumps lining the river, we would see ghostly blue flames running up and down and around the waste coal, as if the column was alive with demons. Worse yet, the mines beneath our feet, the seams of high-energy hard coal, were also on fire, and in some neighborhoods of our city, smoke rose up through the streets, through the backyards, and into basements. As a six-year-old, I knew that this was the way the world was. Buildings and streets sometimes collapsed as wooden braces holding the ceilings of mines beneath them rotted and let go. Everyday life was riddled with smoke and sulfur and terror and reeked of the rotten egg smell. Creeks and our Lackawanna River ran orange, just as we had to accept whatever tasks our elderly Irish teachers set us to as we sat in our ornate iron and wood desks permanently bolted to wooden floors of each classroom. We had to accept that we were the place that produced the coal for the rest of the nation, and this is how we had to live, breathing smoke. There are memories of that time and place I'm now able to make sense of, to give voice to. Here's the one that keeps coming back to me from first grade. I'm walking the slate sidewalks to school. It is night, and it is raining. All of the street lights are on, and I can see lights in the houses I walk past. The colored leaves are pasted to the black, wet slate, and it is slippery to go downhill in our leather shoes in the pouring rain that doesn't seem to end under this night sky. It is raining, and it is hard to breathe. But now I realize, as I look back into this memory, it isn't night after all. It is day. A fog has capped in the smoke of the valley, and the day has turned to night. Everything is blurry and dark. You have been listening to part one of Smoke, read by me, Catherine Young, its author. It was published in About Place Journal in their Geographies of Justice issue 3, volume 4, in May 2021. This is Catherine Young for Landward. Thanks for listening.